from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Let's see what's going on around the league these days. Let's go out to Indianapolis. Wide receiver Josh Downs looks like he suffered a high ankle sprain during practice today. Jeremy Fowler is saying the outlook right now is that Downs could miss about a month, but the Colts are still sorting it out. Josh Downs, he was a nice piece for them last year as a rookie wide receiver, made a lot of plays down the field. I think he ended up dealing with some injuries last year as well. But already we're starting to see some of these guys going down.
Yeah, high ankle sprain for a wide receiver is not good just because, you know, you got to be healthy when you come back because you got to be able to get in and out of breaks and you got to be able to make cuts. And if you can't make sharp breaks, you can't create separation. So it's really difficult for a receiver to play with bad ankle.
Let's go out to Pittsburgh. It looks like the Steelers are getting closer and closer to getting a deal done. Andrew Filippone, he covers the Steelers for 937. The Fan out in Pittsburgh says that sources are telling him that the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the Niners for Brandon Ayuk. It's been a lot of smoke around this trade and the Steelers being one of the main teams involved. We'll see if it actually happens because I feel like we've been close on a couple of deals supposedly and nothing has happened yet, but it does kind of have the feel that this thing is coming to an end.
Well, I think we'll hear something soon that it's agreed to. And then, you know, about, I don't know, a few hours after, we're going to hear about his new contract that he got. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing. The stuff with the Niners and the Steelers, that I'm sure that's probably already agreed upon. And now they just got to work out the contract.
Another injury out in Atlanta, Rondale Moore, wide receiver for the Falcons, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals. Looks like he was carted off the field earlier today, had an inflatable cast on his right leg. That's always the thing this time of year. Just you want to get out of camp as healthy as possible. You know, the preseason games, same for that as well. But the practices, you never really want to see anybody get hurt in these controlled environments.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, like when I was in San Fran, we never hit. You know, so I mean, it was because it was all about preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Trying, you want your best players to be able to play in the games, and it was all about practicing fast, and it was about practicing smart, and you didn't need to. I mean, I remember Cordell, like the whole training camp. George Seifert would have one scrimmage. And it would be four plays, and it'd be a goal line scrimmage, and he'd be scared to death. you know, about guys being hurt. But we didn't get a ton of guys, nothing major. But at that time, also, your starters are playing a lot more in the preseason. You know, because, Cordell, when it was four preseason games, your starters were playing the first series of the first game, playing about a quarter in the second. Mm-hmm. And then in the third preseason game, you're playing until the first series of the third quarter. And then in the fourth, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to sit in the press box, and you take a deep breath once the starters come out. Like, okay.
Right.
You know, I'm good now. And I used to do the same thing with the Redskins. Starters come out. All right. We can move on now because we got the starters. And I remember, you know, also is like I'd go up after practice and Dan Snyder would say, how was practice? Said nobody got hurt. It was good. You know, and you're more concerned about health than you are about anything else.
Let's go out to Philadelphia. It looks like ESPN has put out another one of those long pieces. I got to kind of read through this, but it's about Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and his fractured relationship with quarterback Jalen Hurts, apparently. So in this report, they actually use they have the quotes around the word fractured, saying that a couple people described the relationship as fractured and unhealthy last season. Apparently, Nick Sirianni held a meeting at the start of right before camp and pretty much took responsibility for last year with the Eagles. Eagles came up short in the postseason, really didn't look right all year, especially in the second half of the season. Once some of those guys started to get hurt and you start seeing guys like A.J. Brown and them getting into fits on the sideline. It felt like every week A.J. Brown had an issue. But honestly, this doesn't surprise me. And just skimming through the article, it looks like guys were struggling to get over that Super Bowl loss, which may be common for a lot of teams that, you know, the Super Bowl hangover. But Nick Sirianni, just watching that Eagles team last year, I just didn't get a feel that he had control of his team. It seemed like emotions ran high, and he seems like an emotional guy himself.
Right.
But it just didn't really feel like there was somebody that could kind of put all those egos and emotions kind of in check.
So it seemed like the inmates were running the asylum?
Yeah, kind of.
And the thing about it, what's tough, is he had to replace both coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably tough on the players, too. With the offensive side, they promoted from within. Defense, they didn't. It just, when you lose 5 of 6 down the stretch, you kind of lost the team. And I think that's what happened there, is the players tuned them out. And they wanted changes, and they got changes.
Yeah, they did. And I think this could be a big year for Nick Sirianni in terms of what the Eagles end up looking like. You don't last long as a head coach in some of these spots, and getting to the Super Bowl isn't enough. You have to win these games, and the Eagles have a lot of talent on their team. So we'll see how it goes for them this season. We've seen a couple of these brawls in the Giants-Lions joint practices, been multiple fights. I'm seeing here that each team was fined $200,000 for the fights at the joint practices.
Yeah. I've always thought that, I didn't like having fights. It's because, Cordell, the dude that you're punching's got a helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances of you breaking a hand or doing something like that, I mean, how dumb is all that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And what does it prove? What does it show? Usually it's you're hot, you're tired, and you get frustrated. I like that the league is fine, because, you know, you don't want to practice with another team. If that team is a known team as, well, they like to fight all the time, why do I want to practice with them? I don't. And then when I'm practicing with another team, I don't want to be breaking up fights all day. We're here to get things done. And they got to be respect on both teams. So that's key. And it's about the two head coaches. You know, are they allowing it? Are they encouraging it? You know, Campbell.
You never know with him.
Right. Daboll, who knows? You know, I mean, the Giants are probably trying to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't think it benefits anybody, and all it does, you know, it hurts their pocketbook a little bit now, but if you get a guy hurt in a fight, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Commanders player last year. I forget who it was. It was a safety, I believe, that ended up getting hurt in one of the scuffles out at the Ravens joint practice.
Well, you were just talking about Appalachian State guy.
Yeah,
taking his helmet off and swinging his helmet
that was pretty
at
crazy.
Another guy. I mean,
that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, those are weapons, what you got in your hand.
And, like, fighting your own teammates in practice, I feel like it's become kind of a staple of training camp. And so it shouldn't get but so far. You know, these are guys you share a locker room with. These are guys ultimately you're trying to win with. I can understand emotions running high because it's a contact sport. It gets physical at times and you're all out there working. So I get it. When you're going up against another team, I think a lot of times it's just finally getting to see somebody with a different helmet than you, finally seeing somebody in a different jersey, and you're not taking any crap from them. I mean, you've been having to hit your own guys for weeks and having to hold back, and now you finally get to go up against another team, and you're just ready for whatever at that point. I mean, it feels like in all these joint practices, we're seeing multiple fights happen.
Well, the other issue, too, you know, just because the league fined them now, otherwise, there was no repercussions. You could do whatever you wanted.
Right.
So, I mean, if, like, one of your guys got jacked,
mm-hmm.
you're over there fighting. And you got 90 guys. You got a lot of guys trying to make a team, yep. trying to impress. And some coaches, who knows what they're saying. You know, I mean, Greg Williams was that type of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't mind having...
At all.
Yes. So, it's just a bad look.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles real quick. Preview tonight's game. Orioles back at it in Toronto. Looking to win game two of this series against the Blue Jays. This is the type of team that the Orioles have to make light work of with the Yankees right there next to them in the division. So we'll preview game two of this game against Toronto next here on the...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
On the mound for the Orioles, hoping to have a better outcome than he had in his last start for the Birds. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 5 earned runs given
up. What do you
up.
Want tonight, Cordell?
From Rogers?
Yep.
Well, let's start with some length. At least 6 innings would be nice. Keep it manageable. The Blue Jays have been hot at home here recently. I think they're on a nice home winning streak. So I want to keep it within reach. I'd say, you give me 6 and no more than three runs, I could live with that. I mean, that's an upgrade of what
limit
he's
the
been
walks.
Given. Yeah, definitely limit the walks. He had 3 last time, had 3 strikeouts as well. But a quality start to begin with. You got to give a quality start, especially with them having to go to the bullpen quite a bit last night. You need your starter to give you some true length and actually look like somebody, especially now with the Grayson stuff. They need him to really look like a guy now. And the same could be said for Kramer when we see him again. But these bad outings, you can't really stomach them anymore. You need your starting pitchers to really be able to give you quality starts.
What they need is to show that, listen, you guys are Toronto, you're in a rebuild, and we're going for the World Series. They need to show the dominance again with their bats and pitching and show why. I mean, the Yankees, they went down and played the Yankees last week, and the Yankees won 2 of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Orioles need to do now is to finish.
Yeah, that's going to be extremely important for them, and that's going to include the bats waking up. Like you said, I mean, 3 hits last night, that's not going to get it done on a regular basis. And it's not like the Blue Jays have anybody dominant on the mound for them. Bowden Francis is on the mound for the Blue Jays tonight, 4-3 on the year, 5.6 ERA, 1.4 whip as well for him. And the Orioles to this point in the season have been good. For the most part, you know, they've been good against this Blue Jays team, I would say, for the most part. So I think that this is a type of matchup where you want to see them go out and kind of beat up on Francis the way that they should and kind of make up for last night all in all. I think obviously the home run ball is a big part of what the Orioles do, but I'm just about getting it done. At this point, let the guys that have been hot, hopefully they get to stay hot. Hopefully Kowser can kind of get back on the right track after last night. Hopefully Jackson Holliday can stay hot as well. Hey, maybe we get a Gunner bomb tonight. That'd be good.
Well, you know what, the thing that I guess since the All-Star break or whatever, it's like, you know, they lose a couple in the series,
mm-hmm.
and then they either win the last game or the last two, and it's like, oh, we're back on track.
Right.
Then they go back to the next series and lose again, you know, and have a stinker like last night. I mean, where's the consistency? You know, because, oh, the Orioles are back, they're hitting, and then they get 3 hits, you know, and then it's back to where they were before. So that, to me, is the biggest question is, you know, as Harbs would say, stack.
Right.
Good performance. And they're not stacking them because they're winning two, you know, and, you know, the Cleveland series, they got the crap kicked out of them for two, you know, and then the bats awoke. And then yesterday they stunk. And then what's today going to be?
It feels like just yesterday we were talking about how the O's couldn't lose a series. They weren't losing series since Adley had been called
right.
up. And now it's just, I mean, that just feels so long ago now.
If anything, what's happened over the past month or so has made what the Orioles did last regular season even more impressive.
Yeah.
And remind us that, hey, you shouldn't take that for granted when mm-hmm. you're in the midst of it. Let's be honest, we kind of did. The entire narrative, at least I remember on this show last year at this time, was all about, oh, well, who's starting what's the rotation looking like for the playoffs?
Yeah.
It was all right, let's get to the playoffs. And now, you're in the middle of a tight race here for the division crown. You can't forget about Boston. They're lingering just 5.5 games back. So it's a much different feel this year. The Orioles feel vulnerable for the first time of this new era. And again, you're facing a team here that you should be able to beat. Just last week, you took 3 out of 4 in a condensed 4 games in the span of 3-day series. Oddly enough, Bowden Francis was the pitcher that beat you last week. He was the only Toronto pitcher that beat him. But all right, 1 week later, different results.
Definitely need it. Definitely need different results indeed. And we'll see if this lineup can give them a spark tonight. Definitely need a better outing than they had last night. And they need their starting pitching to, you know, give them a quality outing for sure. And hopefully Hyde doesn't take the game away from the boys today. That'd be a nice.
You know what I hope, Norm and Cordell? I hope it's a tight game. I hope it's a one-run game because I want to see who he's going to put in to close and those, you know, because when it's 6-1 or whatever, that's easy. Well, let's have it. Let's get some tough games, which are going to show some things because that's what they need. They need some tight games because that's what playoff games are going to be. And I hope it's a low scoring, tight game. And then Hyder's got to make a lot of decisions.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some football with my guy Daniel Oyefusi, who covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on this Aiyuk news. It looks like the Browns are out of it, but how real was the rumors about them being a part of that trade? How's Deshaun Watson looking? Are the Browns getting any healthier this year? We'll talk to Daniel about that and more next here on The Fan. It's football. It's my guy, Daniel Oyefusi. He covers the Browns for ESPN. What's going on, Daniel?
Doing well, Cordell. How you doing?
Not bad, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon. And I want to start with Deshaun Watson, of course. It's tough not to. We know last year his season was cut short due to injury, and we're still waiting to see that Deshaun Watson that we used to see back in Houston. And I don't know if that guy is still there, but how close do you feel like he is to returning to his prime form?
Yeah, that's the big question. You know, every throw he makes, every movement he makes is, you know, rightfully going to be, you know, watched, kind of scrutinized after coming off that season-ending surgery to his throwing shoulder. I think he's looked fine. You know, I spoke to somebody in the organization that has watched as well, and he characterized it as fine. I think the main thing for them is, like, just getting him to the regular season and healthy. Obviously, they're kind of incorporating a new scheme or a bridging of schemes with Ken Dorsey coming on as offensive coordinator. And you see him make some really strong throws. You know, he hit, you know, one of their wide receivers for a deep touchdown yesterday in practice. But then you saw, you know, some moments where, you know, he makes some kind of head scratching throws and whatnot. So it is tough to say. You know, he's not going to play in the preseason opener against the Packers on Saturday. I'm not sure if he's going to play at all in the preseason. And you'd kind of like to see him get some live reps before, you know, the regular season starts. But they do have joint practices coming up next week. And I think that's going to be really telling to see, you know, how he's doing against another defense and maybe not one that he's, you know, seeing every single day.
Hey, Daniel, what are the biggest needs that the Browns have right now?
That's a really good question. You know, I spoke to somebody, again, in the organization, you know, about how the roster is shaking out, because it is a pretty strong roster from top to bottom. I think that, you know, tight end, maybe backup tight end with, you know, behind David Njoku, they don't have a ton of depth there. They have dealt with a lot of injuries on the defensive line. They have a lot of guys who have. Yeah. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith, you know, had a knee contusion the other day. He's going to be out for a little bit, but I think, you know, overall he's going to be fine. They've had some interior guys that have dealt with injuries, and they're kind of relying on some younger guys. So again, like, nothing significant or long term or season ending, but that depth is really getting tested right now.
We're talking to Daniel Oyefusi, who covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. Is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Daniel, we were hearing that the Browns were a part of this Brandon Aiyuk trade saga that's going on right now. It looks like they're zeroing in on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. But was there, as far as what you've heard, were there any legs to the Browns really throwing their name into the hat for the Aiyuk sweepstakes?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, a source told me that, you know, the conversations on the Browns side have been serious, but there was definitely some uncertainty with where it was going to land. Now, as you all know, there is a lot of, you know, this is a complicated situation or a trade to maneuver, because not only the acquiring team not only has to, you know, agree on the trade compensation with the 49ers, but, you know, they theoretically have to agree on an extension with Aiyuk and his team. So, you know, that kind of gives Aiyuk a de facto no trade clause, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So again, and then even on the Cleveland side, you know, I thought it was interesting that their name was being thrown in there because just a couple weeks ago, you know, they handled or resolved a contract dispute with Amari Cooper, their number one wide receiver, and they more or less, you know, guaranteed the $20 million left on the final year of his contract. In addition to that, you know, they restructured it and kind of spread it out over a couple of years with void years, and by doing that, they created a lot of dead money. So I thought it was interesting that obviously a Cooper's name has been floated as a potential player to kind of make that deal work. I think, you know, the Browns would be taking on a lot of dead money, and, you know, they'd really be putting their future cap, you know, kind of in peril with, you know, giving Aiyuk a big deal, a deal that, you know, would make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL. So obviously, you know, it seems like every day we get a new report, but the Browns definitely have had some conversations and some serious conversations about Aiyuk.
Hey, Daniel, what about the O-line? With Callahan gone, how's the O-line shaping up? Because Billy Callahan was one of the best O-line coaches in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, it's really been a focus and something that we've watched. They have Andy Dickerson, who spent time with Seattle, but, there is some overlap. So they're not trying to tweak too much. Obviously, he's going to come in with his own principles. Along with some of these changes to the drop back concepts that Dorsey's bringing in, I think there is going to be a little not pivot, but you're going to see some new stuff in terms of the run gun, maybe not as much outside zone, the West Coast principles that we've seen with Kevin Stefanski. But the big thing for them is getting healthy. They lost their top three offensive tackles last year, and to this point, only one has returned from injury. That's DeJuan Jones, the right tackle. So you still have Jack Conklin, who tore his ACL and MCL in week one, and then you have Jed Wills, the left tackle, who's coming back as well. We've seen Jed Wills, do some stuff on the side. And I think the hope is that, they're back for the start of the season, start of week one. But the more time goes and the closer you get, that's less time to really ramp up. Stefanski has been big on that, trying to work guys into that game shape. So that's definitely something to monitor in the coming weeks.
Daniel, you talk about getting healthy. Nick Chubb is one that I think a lot of people are looking to see how healthy he'll be able to be this season. Have you got a look at him? And if so, how's he looking to this point?
Yeah, so the Browns opened up training camp at the Greenbrier Resort, kind of this remote location in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, and I think it was after the second or third practice, about an hour and 90 minutes after the session ended, we saw Nick Chubb, with an athletic trainer, and he was running full speed sprints about 50 yards downfield. He was doing some light agility work, and that's really the most that we've seen Chubb do in person. Now, obviously, he has been running, he's been running full speed for some time now. But to see him kind of, cut a little bit and kind of put some stress on that knee was really notable. But still, I think that the most notable thing that has been said about Chubb, because they haven't given a timeline, but the general manager, Andrew Berry, said he has a little ways to go. And I think that was really telling. They don't want to rush him back. They know how significant this injury was, how gruesome it was. And it's the second left knee injury that he's had, because if you remember, he had, he tore a lot of ligaments in his knees, in his left knee back when he was in Georgia. So they expect him to play it sometime this season. It's just kind of a matter of when. And he still, even if he does come back, let's say he starts the year on PUP and then he comes back week six or midseason, I think it's still fair to question, how effective he will be. But, they've all said, they're not going to count him out, and he's the last person that they would count out on this team.
Daniel, great stuff as always, my man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. We'll touch base, I'm sure, throughout the season, as these two teams will see each other a couple of times. So we'll talk again down the line.
Most definitely. You guys take care.
Hey, Daniel, you missing that Florida?
I'm not going to lie. So everyone told me the Cleveland summers are nice. They have. We did have a storm come through, some without some power, but, it's a nice day, so I might just walk out. But I'm definitely going to enjoy this because, when fall comes around in the winter, that's a lot different.
Yeah, you're not going to be seeing them bikinis around.
That's for sure. Appreciate you, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
See you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up. Take one last trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with one here on the Ravens. This texter says, I don't know what it is about Baltimore and their defensive backs. If the NFL made a special rule where the Ravens could add 20 extra roster spots, but they all had to be DBs, they'd still be searching for depth by November. These injuries are ridiculous year after year.
Well, as long as you don't lose guys for the season, that's a thing. Because Millett will be back, let's say, October 1st. Okay, that's fine. And by that time, maybe somebody else gets nicked, and then he's back. So as long as you have your core guys, I just want, I want Marcus Williams to be healthy for a whole season. And I want Hamilton, because those are the two best safeties in the league when they're together. And Cordell, I don't know what you think, but when the Ravens have all their whole secondary pieces together, all the guys they have, the 11 or 12 that they keep, I think it's probably the best group in the league.
Yeah, I would agree. I can't name a safety duo as good as Hamilton and Williams right now, and if Marlon can carry the and Stevens, because Stevens has had a really good camp himself to this point. You talk about Marlon, Mulette, and Stevens, all three of them I feel like have been really good in camp to this point. Yeah, if all those guys are available to them, I can't
name
them.
And then you got Wiggins and Tampa.
They've gotten
and
to the
Davis.
Texter. They have depth right now.
Yes, they do.
They have a lot of depth right now.
And it's a much different feel than this time last year when Marlon Humphrey was out for the start of the season.
Yep.
And that was one of your guys that you were leaning on as a starter. And the rest of the group was question marks.
I mean, they signed Darby off the streets around that time of the year.
Well, they said they had a bunch of guys that we, that they were changing in and out. But, I mean, the biggest difference, I think what's helped Humphrey is he lost 10 pounds. He looks like a different guy, and he's not getting the pulls and everything else. So I give him a lot of credit because he looked like an old man last year.
This one here from Paul says, the Orioles have lost damn near all of their starting pitchers this year. Hyde still has the team fighting for first. One game doesn't make or break a manager for me.
I mean, I didn't call for his job today,
No,
I just
kind of
gave him crap for last night. I kept it in the scope of where it belongs. That's not lost on me. I still look at that, the fact of where they are. Still considering all the injuries and everything that they've gone through to this point, no doubt about it. But, yeah, he had to wear it for what happened last night.
I mean, you have 162 of them, Norm. I mean, you're gonna have some games where you do, like, it's like, oh, that's my bad. I F that one up.
Another one here, Texter says, yesterday, frustrating for many reasons, especially with Soto out of the bullpen, who came up here and replaced Keegan Aiken, who actually had been pitching decently well leading up to his demotion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that sucks. And you got to wonder at this point, how long are they going to ride this wave with Soto? Because that wave has crashed already. So, they have no ties to this guy. At what point do they decide to go back to Keegan Aiken or any of their other options? But Soto clearly right now is not looking like the guy.
And one last one here, more of the same thoughts we've been hearing all day. Texter says, I'm running hot with Brandon Hyde, his decision-making. Should have kept Jackson Holliday in. If you were looking to pinch hit for someone and get Coby Mayo in there, why not Ramon Arias?
Right.
Nobody would have said anything if that was the case. Even if they lose the game, no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yep, same thing, because Urias struck out, if I'm remembering right, didn't he?
Yeah. He whiffed on three straight pitches up in the zone.
Shocker. I mean, this is what's been going on, and he has his allegiance to some of these vet guys, and I understand it, but it's got to be a line, and you got to give some leeway to some of these young guys and give them opportunities to be in positions that, to this point, they haven't had to be in, but you won't know what they're capable of until you allow them to test it out. That'll do it for us here. Another great one in the books. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next at 2 o'clock. I'll be back tomorrow with the boys for another show tomorrow morning. Hopefully, it's a much lighter tone than it was today for sure. Inside Access, they're up next. Until tomorrow, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.